Already on the phone right now is author Mike Chen. His new book, Light Years from Home, is out on January 25th. Mike, it's the fourth year in a row in January we've talked. I feel like we're becoming January buddies.
Yeah, that's what my contract says every January, at least for another 2 years.
Well, actually, though, we'll get to the book in a second. We'll get to Doctor Who. We'll get to Legends of Tomorrow. But I happened to look at your Twitter page this morning. This isn't your only book this year.
That's right. Yeah, I have a book called Star Wars Brotherhood coming out in May.
That's great. You're getting the right for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, that was it happened really quick. I got the offer in May of 2021, and my agent, when he called me, he said, like, well, it's a quick turnaround. I'm like, how quick is quick? And he said, well, his published date is May 2022. It's been a sprint, but it's definitely been worth it. It's a literal dream project.
Did they reach out to you? Did your people put out saying, hey, Mike would like to write a book? Or how did that, come about?
I wrote a short story in the From a Certain Point of View anthology for The Empire Strikes Back, 40th anniversary. But before then, my agent knew some of the editorial team over at Del Rey, and he made it very known that not only did I really want to do it, that I felt like I had a lot of like the deep down hardcore nerd knowledge to do that. And I've written for geek media since like the early 2010s, like for Nerdist and the Mary Sue and things like that. And like at least half my articles were about Star Wars. So I noticed that some of the editorial team actually already followed me on Twitter because of the other stuff that I'd written. So I know there was like some polite nudging from my agent, but ultimately like they were the ones who gave me the call. And when I wrote the story for the anthology, I remember like looking at the list of characters available for it. So that anthology is retelling The Empire Strikes Back from different points of view, so kind of more the characters in the background rather than the main characters. And I saw the list on there. I'm like, no one's picked Palpatine yet. And then the editor was like, oh yeah, I think everyone was kind of intimidated. Like, what are you going to do with Palpatine? And there was a decision for me of like, well, this could be my only chance to write for Star Wars, and it might be like an audition of some sort. So, go big or go home. So fortunately they liked it. And, there's a lot of carryover from that book, from that short story to my book, which is about Obi-Wan and Anakin between Attack of the Clones and, the Clone Wars series.
And you wrote the book, it probably did have a lot of rewrites. Did they say, you can't say this, you can't do that, or did it go along fine with the... I'm so far behind on the Star Wars universe, so I'm reading the blurb of what your book's about, and it's making no sense to me, because I haven't read the other books, and there's like 50 million TV shows that I haven't seen, and...
It's a process. Because I basically had 3 months... I had 1 month to outline it, and then 3 months to write it, and then another month to do revisions. So it's unlike anything that I've been through before. I'm fortunately friends with Rebecca Roanhorse, who about 2 years ago, when I first told her, like, God, how did you get to write for Star Wars? And she, she told me how she got hooked up with them to write the Resistance Reborn story that takes place right after The Last Jedi. But she warned me back then. She said, like, the process is like 3 months for a 90,000 word novel. Once they called, like, I knew that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to deal with the turnaround time. So it's an extremely in-depth outline that gets revised multiple times. And a lot of that is where the editorial team says, like, yeah, you can do this. No, you probably shouldn't do this. So they try to, not just from a continuity and character perspective, but also like story perspective, like they really try to make sure the outline is as tight as possible, and then you have to stick with it from a practical perspective because you don't have time to really go off on tangents.
Let's talk about your new book, which is out on the 25th, Light Years from Home. It's another great science fiction family type drama. Fits right in with the first three books. This time, every family has issues, but most can't blame them on extraterrestrials. And you teased this book with me last year, and it's as good as your tease was last year.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you remember that. Because I don't. My brain has been completely eviscerated over the past year. But yeah, it's about a family who 15 years ago on a family camping trip, one of the siblings was abducted by aliens. And that is a fracture point for the family. And the dad was abducted too, but then he comes back claiming that he's seen, you know, aliens, and you know, he has to find their son, and eventually he dies in his search. And 15 years later, the two remaining sisters are at complete odds with each other. The mom has dementia and is losing grip with reality, and the brother returns, and there's a struggle to figure out, like, do they believe him, or is this a development of like a ton of drug use and mental illness? And they go on adventure from there to try to figure out not just is he telling the truth, but also who are they now, now that they have a chance to get reconnected with each other.
Yeah, the brother Jacob, he was taken for a specific reason, and we learned that early on in the book. And we learn why he's has to come back early on in the book as well. And like you said, the family doesn't really believe him, but he's back on a mission, and he's got to get it done fast because it could be calamity for the Earth and for the world, the Earth, the atmosphere, all the planets and everybody out in
the galaxy.
Thank you. Having a mind fart this morning. And not only that, but then the FBI's on his case. So it just becomes a race to get what he needs to get done, reconnect with his family, and see if they can heal what's been wrong for the last 15 years. So it's about family as well.
Yeah, it's like, I know the only negative reviews I've gotten so far are from people who wanted more like pure space opera from there.
Yeah.
And to them, like, you know, this is not, it's like 90% family drama and like 10% space opera, but like the space opera elements are influencing and driving everything in the story. But the focus is on how this family on Earth deals with it. So I think I know a lot of people who typically read literary fiction or only dip into sci-fi here and there. They've really, really enjoyed it. And I think as long as you go into it with the idea that this isn't like a John Scalzi novel, then you'll appreciate all the different elements in there.
Kirkus says, a rich backstory, a highly satisfying ending, all the stars for Chen's warm-hearted space travel story.
Yeah, and Kirkus hates everything, so that was like an extra good review.
Oh, do they? I thought...
Yeah. They're like notoriously the toughest critics.
Oh. And then Publishers Weekly says, Chen delivers an emotional blend of space opera and family drama. So look at Publishers Weekly says you deliver space opera.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that.
Speaking of space opera and the time we have left, what did you think of the 6-episode arc of Doctor Who, not counting the Dalek New Year's Day episode?
So go in reverse order, which is appropriate for Doctor Who. The Eve of the Daleks was one of my favorite episodes in a long time, like dating probably back to like maybe the Peter Capaldi era. It was this really good mix of, it was like the first time I think with a 13th Doctor companions that I really felt like they had good chemistry. Like it was building throughout the Flux season, but it was really, really fun with that episode. And I love like the twist on the time loop story, which usually the time loop just repeats until it either, you know, ends in some way. And this way, like with it actually getting shorter each time and then being able to carry memories through it was really, really cool. I thought it was just a lot of fun. It was really clever. And it also focused on character advancement for Yaz and 13. The Flux season, I mostly liked. I was just talking about this with one of my friends who writes for Geek Journalism. And I told her, she said she was frustrated with it because the ending felt really rushed and was just a lot of like checking off boxes. And I'm like, yeah, but that's what Doctor Who season endings are. And I'm like, I told her, like, I don't think there's been one. I think there's only been two or three series or season finales that has actually, like, fully fulfilled the promise of the season, no matter how good the season is. Usually, like, you know, they set up so many things and they just have to rush to get through them. Yeah. And so, like, in my head, I mean, as long as it makes sense and it hits a few character moments, like, I'm okay with it. But, like, for the bulk of the season leading up to the finale, I was really, really happy with it. There was a tension and a mystery to it that, like, didn't really exist in 13's first two seasons. Like, I thought her first season was okay. I really enjoyed her second season, but Flux had, like, such stakes, like, right off the bat, and just an energy that I thought, like, the rest of her seasons didn't really have. I'm actually kind of irritated that it feels like that Chris Chibnall is really hitting his stride with writing for the Doctor, and then he's leaving. But I am looking forward to the return of Russell T. Davies.
Yeah, me too. And what are you hoping for in the next Doctor? More of a David Tennant, Eccleston type?
I don't know. You know, it's like, I realize that whenever I try to project something onto it, like, I'm going to want, like, the Doctor's, like, I think Matt Smith is really, like, the one where it was, like, you know, it just, like, okay, it started off strong, and, like, I think it actually got a little bit weaker as he went along. Everyone else, like, felt like there was more of a build-up to it, so I've just tried to stop, you know, stop predicting and stop projecting expectations, because I feel like Peter Capaldi, I think right now, is probably my favorite Doctor, but he wasn't that way, you know, after his first season. I thought his first season was really hit and miss, but now he's, like, my go-to Doctor when I want to watch an episode.
Really?
And I really, really miss him. I really wish that, like, he had one more season with Bill. And then, so, like, I wasn't really feeling it that much with Jodie, and then until, like, Flux started, I'm like, oh, she's really hitting it, and, like, the writers are really hitting it now. And I thought, damn, I'm really going to miss her. So I think that's just, like, you know, the natural evolution of each Doctor.
Yeah, my favorite of the newer ones is Tennant. My older one is Tom Baker.
Yeah, I've watched, you know, obviously the older ones. Like, I watched that growing up on PBS very occasionally. I just knew it was, like, this weird British show that was occasionally on with, like, worse effects than the original Star Trek. So I've watched as much as I can available on U.S. streaming, because it can be hard to find. And I really appreciate Patrick Troughton, the second Doctor.
Yeah.
I love Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor. And I find, like, when people ask me now, like, who is your favorite Doctor? I'm like, I really appreciate something about every of them. And it really just depends on what mood I'm in more than anything else.
I didn't like that last one before the series took a hiatus for quite a few years with Ace and...
you didn't like Ace?
No.
And Sylvester McCoy?
No, I didn't like those episodes.
I find that... what's interesting rewatching those is you can see the storytelling shift a little bit, and the relationship between Ace and Seven, it feels more like where they're going... They're less, like, just there, and they're more, like, developing the character... there, and it feels like kind of like the blueprint for the modern series. But yeah, I really like Ace as a companion. I wish she got. I know she's done some Big Finish stuff and some novel stuff. So I wish that they revisited her in a way that they did with, like, Sarah Jane and some of the other classic era companions.
People can follow you at MikeChenBooks.com, at Twitter, Mike Chen Writer. Again, Light Years From Home is out on the 25th. What do you have? You got a tease for your next book next January?
So the next January book is about, I call it the most wholesome vampire book of all time.
Oh, great. I love vampire books.
Because it's... I wanted to take a different spin on vampires, because they're often just, like, super sexual and super gory, which I totally appreciate. You know, like, that's their thing. But, like, I thought from a real world perspective, it'd be like, if, you know, why are all these vampires having sex? Like, how does that work biologically? And so I thought what would be more interesting is taking the perspective that, like, when you actually get turned into a vampire, it's like, well, you're not eating anymore, so it's like the blood is your sustenance in terms of calories, and, like, so what what transforms in your body, and then how does that define who you are as a person? Because a lot of these people aren't like, you know, glamorous True Blood vampires. You know, they're like normal people. It's just they've kind of almost got this like disability of like what they can eat, where they can go out and stuff. And so I wanted to really kind of explore a vampire as like metaphor for access and equity through the lens of a vampire who uses her immortality to play in bands and go to a lot of punk rock shows over the decades. And she has an awesome dog. She's living kind of like this stasis life, going from week to week, trying to find blood, because it really is like their commodity that they live by. Like that's the thing that they have to do, that they need, and they don't have easy access to it. And then she gets reunited with a long lost relative. And, so in between all that, it's a story of like, when you run away from your intergenerational trauma and damage, even if you're a vampire, 70 years later, you still got to face it at some point. So that's going to come out in January of 2023, and it's called Vampire Weekend.
Oh, sweet. Well, Light Years from Home again is out on the 25th. Star Wars Brotherhood is out on May 10th. So you got a busy year this year. Mike, as much as I love you, I probably won't be talking to you for the Star Wars book because I don't know if I can read a Star Wars book and understand what the hell's going on in it. So
that's totally fine, man.
Unless I have you on and you just explain it all again. We'll figure that out in May.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Well, hey, you stay safe out there. Are you teaching today?
Oh no! I have a marketing day job, so that's what I'm doing.
Oh, I thought you were a teacher for some reason.
No, I wouldn't have the patience to be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
They're all saints. I am not.
Oh, okay, well, go do your marketing job then, sir.
Okay, that sounds good.
All righty, bye bye.
Okay, bye.